Beefs, recorded on July 17th, 2020. Happy birthday, Mom, because it's coming out 31st. My mom's birthday of July. This is a kind of a weird thing. I had a text conversation with my buddy that's into F1 with me, and it turned out to be pretty funny. So I'm going to more or less go through it and kind of discuss the topics. And obviously, I'm going to try to turn it in from a dialogue into a monologue. I've tried to do different voices before, and it didn't really work out. Like, I did, like, a funny accent to try to, like, interview somebody. But there is a level of difficulty there mentally. Like, if you really wanted to do that crazy thing, you'd have to record your questions and then go back and record the answers separately. Like, you'd actually hit play, and it would go blah, 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 and you'd stop. And this is not that hard to do, actually. And then after, like, the day after, so you don't, like, 2 days after, a week after, kind of, like, trying to proofread a paper. That way you can have, like, a real conversation with that, but so you can simulate a conversation. I might try to do that in the future, but for this, because I thought about just reading the text, but there's a lot of subtext and understanding to them that it may come off not fun or, you know, I mean, all my podcasts are basically, even though I more or less try to be as, you know, politically correct and neutral as I can be, they're still going to piss off somebody at some point. I'm going to probably lose my job over it. But here goes. It's F1 oriented. And really, like, the meat of this, what I thought was the funniest part is, who would you want to hang out with as an F1 driver? Like, they always say that, like, who would you want to have a beer with? Like, when you vote for presidential candidate, going back to at least the elections I voted in, back to Bill Clinton, the guy that was cooler won. Bill Clinton was cooler than George Bush. That was weird. That was a really weird election because Ross Perot basically threw it for Clinton. But the next time around, and a lot of people believe that George Bush did not enjoy being president and, like, lost it on purpose. Then you have Bob Dole, who lost to Bill Clinton, who's just not, I mean, all these guys have more charisma than normal, but just not enough. And then you have the next two Democratic, the George Bush beats Al Gore, basically a walking stick in the mud, and John Kerry, a Northeast elitist who could not get past his, like, prep school sensibilities. And that's a small, small minority of people in this country. You're not going to go for it. There's a lot of people that really, you know, I'm really into this stuff. It's almost like my sports. There's a lot of people out there, and the stuff I listen to is that everyone's pretty well informed. Generally speaking, you know, I mean, I take it to paranoid conspiratorial theory realm often, but most people, like, they have a pretty decent idea. They don't. There is a segment of our voting population that really doesn't see, or maybe they're the ones that see through it. They don't have an allegiance to Democrats or Republicans. They vote for the guy. Like, what does this dude say? What is this guy going to say? I'm not going to, like, worry about Democrat, Republican. I'm not going to fall for the culture world trap. I'm not going to fall for the ideology trap or the racism trap. They don't care. And it's obvious that that's the swing voter, right? Because if you're a diehard Republican or Democrat, you're gonna know that that's all you're gonna do, right? So that's what I mean by the beer thing. Like, who is the cooler guy? So it's like you're sitting there going, like, who do I most like, essentially? And George Bush wins, and then Barack Obama wins. You know, John McCain, all the nice things you can say about him, he, you know, maybe he didn't come off as whatever as Obama, and not maybe, definitely did not. Sarah Palin didn't help. And then, you know, Mitt Romney. I remember at the time someone going, Mitt Romney? Really? Really, bro? You know, if you want to be completely fair, same thing with Hillary Clinton. It's just not as likable as Donald Trump. Obviously, who knows what they're like? You get a general idea of someone, but you don't really know what they're really going to be like when you see them in their public persona. But the public persona was bad for her. It just didn't work. And so Trump wins. In this election, I mean, I can't, like, who would you rather party with? And that's the quest of this podcast. Would you rather party? Which F guy would you want to party with? That's where we get to eventually. But real quick, it's tough because Donald Trump's been to way more cool parties. So, like, if you hang out with him, you'll be at a cooler party. But he doesn't drink or do drugs. So it's like, it's tough. Because you're not going to just sit and hang out and, like, you could sit and hang out and, like, drop beers with Bush at one point in his life, right? And we say party, we mean, like, peak party mode, you know? Like, my partying has definitely went down significantly since the kids. It's not because, like, oh, now I have kids and I can't party anymore. It's just, you just run out of, like, you run out of energy. Really, what it, you just don't want to be hung over the next day because you got to be able to be function. You can't, I mean, you can get a little buzzy, but you can't get stupidly drunk, you know, even when they're asleep, because they will wake up in the middle of the night. You can't be so hungover the next day. You can't function. You're by yourself. That's why when you go on vacation, you see these adults, you know, with kids kind of go a little crazier than normal and, like, ignore their kids. Like, somebody else is watching them. Situations, because it's like you can defer the that's why, like, you know, when people say it takes a village, that's what that means. You can't do it on your own. It's too hard. It'll drive you insane. But if you all the parents get together and you throw the kids in the center in, like, a playground, imagine, and you just sort of sit on the periphery and you let them go, and then that's that. So without further ado, this is how the we're talking about, you know, next year Racing Point, the pink cars, are going to turn into Aston Martin. And I don't know if he got this from a website or something, but my buddy says that, like, Aston Martin should buy 3 F3 seats and 2 F2 seats. F3 and F2 are, like, the feeders. Like, think about a minor league baseball. And then buy one of Haas's seats. Like, what do you mean? Aston Martin, formerly Racing Point, should buy a Haas seat. Well, race, you can give them money to put one of your drivers to develop in their seat of their car. Like, for instance, Williams, their George Russell is actually a Mercedes driver in the Mercedes program. It's funny, too, because he's, like, the second worst guy on the track, but, you know, by finish. But here's the thing. In F2, he was by far dominant of names such as Albon, Leclerc, Norris. Whoa, what are the other young dudes that were part of that whole, oh, there's more. Gasly. Those are the guys that come to mind right away, and I don't want to sit here and run through lists in my head, but he was, like, the guy that was like, oh, he's the best driver. He's also feels like he was born in a PR firm. His mic is so just cookie cutter perfect, as opposed to even someone like Sebastian Vettel, that sometimes gets a little unglued, or I mean, Hamilton rarely does. He's always kind of trying to be positive, and that's why I like Hamilton. We'll get into that. And anyway, if you buy a seat, Haas is not doing great. Gene Haas is pissed because Haas has racing in all manner of other venues, of obviously NASCAR. And NASCAR is like $30 million, and a F1 car is like $130 million. So when the team doesn't do great, and they were, their first season, they were like second of the mid-pack. And then they just couldn't, their tires wore out. No one seems to know why, including them. And the idea here is you buy a Haas seat, and now you have a B team. Who else has a B team? Like I said, Mercedes has a 1B driver, like half a team. Ferrari has, I used to think Alfa Romeo was completely Ferrari B team, but it's really, they just own one of the seat. And obviously Red Bull has AlphaTauri. It's weird, isn't it, that it's a sport that's so elitist and impossible to compete in that the minor league is in the league. It would be like, for baseball fans, it would be like the Yankees using the Pirates as their minor league team. Football, it would be like the Patriots using the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's just like, they own the team and they use it specifically to develop young talent. Like, they don't care if it wins or loses. I mean, they care, and the players are trying to win 100%. Everyone's trying to win. It's not that. But there's a time and there's a moment where you go, if these guys were in the Super Bowl together, the other team would, like, take a dive. But Haas is going to have – is having financial issues, and Gene Haas is – they got to convince him to stay because they need more drivers. Like, honestly, what you need is, like, Chevy, Ford, Nissan. Honda's in it, but Honda's actually – we think of Hondas as cars only, but they're motor company. And when they say that, they actually – it's not like Ford Motor Company where they make cars. It's – Honda makes cars, but also makes lawnmowers, small engines, like, for chainsaws and blowers, boat engines. I wouldn't be surprised if they did airplane engines, although I've never heard of it. So you get the idea. This is like motorcycles. This is anything with an engine in it. So it's like a different idea. And then he thinks they should sign Vettel. And we get into a discussion later on about like what I disagree with that because I'm not sure he really is in it. Then finally, you know, Hulkenberg. Bring Hulkenberg back. And I wouldn't. Now, everyone that knows anything about racing knows that Hulkenberg's actually a good driver that never had any success because he never got in a decent car. Just like any other sport, you know, you're like, oh man, but whatever. It seems different because it seems like it's a one-man sport, but it's not. Think of a race car driver as kind of like a quarterback. So, you know, in football, you got quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, right tackle is sort of like the most important positions with running backs or kind of wide receivers coming in the forefront. The driver is kind of like the importance of a quarterback, or maybe a pitcher in baseball or a goalie in hockey. Money makes a big deal. It's kind of like baseball. They're not as restricted, so money matters. And then, you know, the team principal matters, like, but that's a coaching position. They're not playing the game. They're not even... You could argue the engineers, actually. The engineers as a whole are... But they're the visible part anyway, the driver. But the engineers as a whole are the quarterback. They're the ones that actually play the game. It's done on the cars. It doesn't always work out that way. And you can see how a bad driver can mess up a good car. But a good driver can't make up for a bad car. And I think Hulkenberg has had some issues with the fact that he never got a good car. But he sort of became, there's, I think he's got psychological damage, basically. Like, he became jaded and cynical and, you know. And then, so, if you move Vettel to Aston Martin and Aston Martin buys a seat on Haas, you can take Stroll and put him in a Haas seat. First of all, the Stroll drivers or the Haas drivers are not great dudes. Magnussen comes off as like an overly arrogant kind of jerk, and Grosjean comes off as like a piddling nerdy. Obviously he's good, but there's so few people that it's like quarterback. There's so few people that can do this at this level. The necessary genetic mutations are so rare that and it happens, and you have to not only are they rare, but it has to occur in a rich person, you know. Basketball in the United States, if you have the genetic mutations, you're likely to play the sport and you're likely to have a shot. This isn't true of racing. The weird whatever it is for that, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, has to occur in someone with enough money to get into karting. So you end up with like plus Pareto principle is going to tell you that no matter what, the top two dudes. In any way. And then something else has changed this year is that Ferrari is basically a dumpster fire. And so they don't have talked about this. And Red Bull is effectively a one-driver team. So that's showing you right there. The Red Bull situation is really showing you what happens when a good car is taken over by only okay driver. Pierre Gasly and Alexander Albon. I mean, Albon does a little bit better. Gasly was like finishing 12th. Albon at least is getting in the points. I mean, if you're in top three car and you can't finish top 10, it's mental. And he showed that it was mental because he then comes in third in an Alpha, was at the time it was Toro Rosso car, but whatever. I think Alonso's coming back to Renault or something. Because Danny, I mean, there's a bunch of movements I'm not aware of off the top of my head. And, So we'll see. We'll see what, like, because Alonso was in a crappy car at McLaren for a long time and got frustrated. And I think that the same thing with Vettel. He's kind of getting frustrated. And now, obviously, I want Haas to do well because I want an American team to win. But they, I really would try new drivers. I mean, the problem is last year, the drivers did well with an okay car. And then when we got a bad car, they didn't. So you can't blame them. That's an issue because I still think that Grosjean especially should be replaced. But then you ask, replaced with who, Nick? Who? Hulkenberg? Maybe. Vettel? Well, Vettel doesn't come to Haas? So we get to Vettel. And my reading of Vettel is that he's become the anti-Kimi. Kimi Räikkönen has said in the last Drive to Survive, the one interview he did, like, obviously, they force him to do these interviews as part of their contract. Kimi doesn't end up in a lot of them, at least the ones that are shown, because he doesn't really play along. And I think he intentionally is kind of obtuse and, you know, think like Manny Ramirez. Like a responsible Manny Ramirez. So the dude, the one thing he says, I think there's a couple little things where he just says, I drive for my hobby. I don't care. This is my hobby. It's what I do for fun. The money, the whatever, it doesn't matter. Even when he was at Ferrari. I mean, this is a guy that's won a championship. He was at Ferrari, and Ferrari was like, you got to let Vettel pass you even though you're going faster. And he was like, okay, I do whatever you want. Like, over the radio, he would just be like, they would have these, like, long soliloquies about what they were going to do, and he would just come over and say, like, look, this is Nick speak. This is the Nick version of it. Dude, just tell me what you want, and I'll do it. In fact, it's pretty close to that. Vettel, on the other hand, was, like, spastic and always like, oh, this is mine and my chance and da-da-da-da, and just pissed and always trying and trying and trying and being kind of a brat. And suddenly, he stopped. This year, sort of tail end last year, there was a couple moments, and then he just sort of, in my mind, gave up. My reading is that he's given up on the sport and that he should retire, take his millions, and go wait out the pending apocalypse. Which, by the way, there is a possibility that there is an impending financial crisis that could render someone with a lot of money, basically everyone that just has a lot of money, destitute. You'd have to spend hours of me explaining historical and Fed stuff to get, but basically, like, the idea of winning the lottery isn't as appealing anymore because, like, let's say you win $100 million. Okay, great, I have $100 million, I buy some stocks, bonds, gold, blah 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 blah, and then there's an impending crash and the government says you got to hand back all your gold and your stocks are worthless and your bonds, they've all defaulted. The only thing you got left is the house you bought and the cars and jewelry, right? And in the United States, you can't buy jewelry by the foot. In the Arab countries, at least, you can go and buy jewelry by the foot, meaning they'll send you a gold chain, but they're not selling. It's not jewelry. It's just the gold. It's just made to look like jewelry, so it won't be confiscated. Anyway, so, but that's a secondary thought. My friend has a little bit. So I quote, it was his dream to win like Schumi, as Michael Schumacher, and they've never given him a good car. They've come close, but it was never like fully competitive with Mercedes-Benz. And even when it was on the track, they had reliability issues, and they were basically cheating, so they never had a good car. Back to quote. Now they react by backing Leclerc and basically firing him. They offered him a contract re-up that was less money than he was making before, and they've gone with Leclerc as their main driver. You're talking about a guy that's got 4 championships, that's a Hall of Famer. Now, Leclerc may be good, but Sebastian Vettel is one of the greatest of all time. It would be like it would have been like the Cavaliers trying to trade LeBron right before he went to Miami. And then my response was what I just said. I think I said he's done internally, and I've talked about that. And my friend responds, I quote, I think that he'd be super motivated in Aston Martin, that there's a Mercedes partner team would put him in line if Hamilton or Botov leave. Any driver right now that leaves Mercedes before the rule changes is a dummy. As long as Mercedes stays in, I would stick with that team. They've shown their ability year after year to maintain dominance, partly because of, like, it's one of those things where, think of it as a race. Imagine, car racing is a race. The technological race. They got a head start, and no one's ever able to catch up. Because if you get lucky on your initial theory, you, let's say you get 5 steps ahead, and then everyone starts running at the same pace, or even a little faster than you, it's going to be hard to catch up. So Mercedes has that, and they have the know-how to do it. And and the fact that Mercedes would want to get rid of Bottas is also laughable, because the guy has done exactly what you need him to do. Doesn't threaten Hamilton, but wins when Hamilton can't, and is second place a lot. A lot of those 1-2 finishes are Hamilton-Bottas, Bottas-Hamilton. More Hamilton-Bottases than Bottas-Hamiltons, but Bottas is like, it's like Iceman in Top Gun. He just sits there. He just waits for you to make a mistake. He's got ice right in his veins. No one gets call signs that way. Also, obviously, Vettel's going to want to stick it to Ferrari. And then I have like a quip on Hamilton. And I think Hamilton, of kind of like Lance Armstrong in a sense, that he's different than a lot of the other drivers. And I don't mean racially, which is the obvious thing. It's not it. Most of the drivers are not celebrity hounds. Okay, there's a couple. Hamilton is definitely Daniel Ricciardo, Lando Norris. I'm trying to think of who's obviously. George Russell is definitely not. So you have a situation where he loves the celebrity spotlight, I think more than anyone since James Hunt. And you can see that because he's trying to be a rapper. He's got a clothing line. Now, some of that is, like, a lot of the European fans hate that. Because, I don't know, it's like, because he's Mr. Brandy Pants, meaning he's got a brand, right? But he loves the spotlight. And not all these drivers are necessarily looking for the spotlight. This guy loves it. The second he stops racing, none of his other things are going to ever compare to how good he was at race. He's better at racing than 99.99999 people that have ever lived, have ever been good at anything. He's going to fade, you know, and I make the... George Russell is higher on the food chain than a guy named Jenson Button. Jenson Button's a former champion. He's an announcer now. So in that world, he's lower socially. And then, you know, this is why Tom Brady never wants to leave. And I think boxers get back in the ring. The MMA guys, real problem with this. Lance Armstrong went back to cycling. Dude, you got away with the juice. And now you're going to go back 3 years later because you can win another one. And then that sets off the whole thing. But the reason is you lose your, and Dana White talks about this, you lose your spice. Once that belt comes off and you're not fighting anymore, you're not the champ, the doors that are opening for you don't open anymore. They only open to the very tippy top, and you got to stay on tippy top. And then my friend, I quote, I don't read him like that, talking about Vettel, where I talk about how, not the Hamilton. So, like, I talked about how Vettel, because, again, I'm going through text, so it's like, it's not a real conversation. That's why you can't do that. So, anyway, I said Vettel had internally quit racing. And my friend says, I don't read him like that. I think he's not interested in just driving like Kimi. He wants to win. And he knows Ferrari has no chance of letting him do that. Remember how he reacted in Montreal last year about the penalty? Unquote. He went ballistic because he was given a penalty that he shouldn't have been given that gave Hamilton a win. He got robbed, and he like stormed after the race. If you're on the podium, you have to go to he wouldn't even go to the podium. And he went to some press conference that's because the podiums, I don't think, are contractually obligated. But he was contractually obligated, I think, to do some press conference. He did that, and it's, I think it says 5 minutes. He likes his clock went off at 5 minutes. He was like, see ya, I fulfilled my contract, I'm gone. Like, very bad reaction. Quote, how pissed he was about the Leclerc toe thing, how he came back hard to win at SGP. crash into Leclerc at Austin. He wants to win. He's not interested in being number two on a midfield team, which is what he is right now. So that makes sense, right? And I hear and I look at that and I'm like, you know what? That makes sense. That the mentality is what it is. You know, I misread it because I saw him being, he's demoralized. We both saw demoralization. And I think my friend actually more accurately figured out that like, no. He's not tired of racing. And he's not become an anti-Kimi, meaning he's just doing it for the money now, as opposed to Kimi doesn't care about the money. He's got four championships. And if he can get a couple more, he'll, you know, if he could get to five, he'll be tied for third place. It's a guy named Juan Pablo Montoya, Argentinian driver in the 50s and 60s. He's got five. That's like the third best driver ever. Championships denote, just so you know. Like, it's very straight up. Number of wins, who cares? Number of podiums, you care. You care about all the stats. Podiums, fastest laps, blah, blah, blah. But the one stat that matters in this sport more than any other sport about who's the greatest is how many championships do you have? And it's about as fair as applying it to football quarterbacks. Really, the way you would really do this is how many wins do you have over your teammate? That would be a closer approximation of how good you are. So anyway, and like anything else in life, we always want it to be one variable. We always want to say, oh, Tom Brady, he throw a wicked fire. He got six Super Bowls. Yeah, he does, but that's not the only. Like, Dan Marino is still a good quarterback, and Eli Manning is not better than Dan Marino. But Eli Manning's got two Super Bowls. Yeah. Yeah. Is Joe Montana really a better quarterback than Peyton Manning? I don't know. But by the way we judge them, yes. Now, is Tom Brady the best? I think so, but I'm a fanboy. So there's no perfect metric, but in this sport, that's the metric. And then he goes on to describe, again, this is a jumpy conversation, and he goes on, to, and I like this comment on Hamilton. Hamilton is like Tom Brady, because I compared him to all these sports guys before, but Hamilton's like Tom Brady, right place, right time. Bill Belichick, he gets, you know, and what's his face? Hamilton joined Mercedes just at the right time to get all these championships. To be fair, he has one with McLaren, so it's not just Mercedes. This, you can't say, it would be like Tom Brady having six Super Bowls, five with Bill Belichick, and one with, I don't know, some other team. Kaepernick, Wokey McWokeface. He is Wokey McWokeface. He jumps on every, you know, sort of trend. You know, I think he's like vegetarian or vegan, or he was like, he's super worried about climate change. It's whatever's trendy for rich people. This guy's like just very much the rich person he is. And then LeBron, my brand. I think that makes sense. This guy wants to be a celebrity, and you got to keep the money flowing, even his wealth. You know, you want more. It's never enough. So, and I think he might actually enjoy fashion, and he might actually, it's, you know, I do this for fun, you know, and going to the studio and rapping and making music and hanging out with, you know, these guys, and maybe like smoking a blunt and having a couple beers, whatever else they're doing. That's fun. And then finally, a weirdo middle relief pitcher. Check out my crystals, man. Something for everyone to love, hate. And then we go on to kind of describe like our views of the various drivers outside of those guys. You know, I've talked about like Vettel is the guy, he just kind of wants wins. Hamilton has gotten past wins. He knows he's going to get his win legacy is secure, so now he's trying to do other stuff. Kimi Raikkonen's there for fun. I'm not going to talk about the things we say about some of the other dudes because it's not nice and it's going to take up time. Maybe I'll eventually say some of the things. None of it's really like massively derogatory. It's just like, you know, this is just our view. Like, for instance, the fact that, like, you know, Lando, Lance, Giovinazzi, Russell, a bunch of these guys are just like, in their late teens, early 20s, and it's hard to pinpoint. They're just, you can see on Lando's face still, in his second year, he's happy to be there. Albon is happy to be there. Okay? So is Kimi, but it's a different thing. And I'm a fan of almost all the drivers. I don't love Grosjean or Magnussen, really. I mean, Robert Kubica didn't really do it for me. But the rest, they're all fine. There's no one I, like, hate. You know, it's not like... Sometimes I get annoyed by Hamilton. It's like, how can you win again? All the while I'm cheering him on because he's on my fantasy team. There's moments of, like, his wokeness that's just, like, tiresome. It's like, you're English, dude. You're commenting about America. Please stop. Some of them at least said that. They were asked, like, how do you feel about, like, these things in America? And they're like, we're not American. I don't understand it. Don't ask me about it. I don't care about them. I prefer that than, like... But it's weird that English people know so much. I met this English broad at a hotel I was staying at for training in Jacksonville, Florida. She was there for a golf tournament and, like, to watch. And, dude... She knew everything about American politics. I had to ask her, what does this mean? What does that mean? So it's like a little bit weird. And like that they do. That they're so much more worried about us than we're like. Most Americans have no clue, you know. And yet they seem to know everything about us. Kind of is like an weird feeling. I will say something. It's a funny quote. Botas is a boring Finn. He's the unedgy Kimmy. I like that. Apparently, he says that Australians don't like Daniel Ricciardo. Who knows? I'm not a huge fan of Daniel Kvyat, but he doesn't get a lot of exposure. So, and you're like, here's the other thing that I'm like kind of trying to stay away from, some of like the personal things that we say about these guys. When I say the Vettel looks demoralized, I think it's obvious. It's like a objective truth. The subjective part is where Matt, I think, rightly believes that he's just demoralized because he doesn't want to be a second driver on a midfield team, whereas I thought he was just done with racing. Those are opinions. I don't want to throw out opinions about, you know, like one of the younger drivers being like, oh, you're a video game nerd. Well, I don't really know you, bro. I just know what you tell the public. So that's another reason I don't want to, like, really get into that. And really, I'm going to get to... What I think is kind of the funniest. So those are some interesting F1 things we're like kind of going through. That who do you want to hang out with? And I guess that's... So this was like a part of an F1 conversation. Tune in tomorrow and I'm going to talk about who to have a beer with. Even though that was supposed to be today's. But you know how these goes. This has actually went like pretty long for me. Happy birthday, Mom. Love you. Beast Place. See you later.